Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It is good to be here, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak to us today. Happy Father's Day to the fathers in the house and prospective dads. Today, I feel a little sense of pressure. Typically, when I get up to preach, it's a no-brainer. But I think I have put some added pressure on me for a number of reasons. One, David will hear, typically I talk about stateside worship. And it has been said, stateside preaching is very short. The last time I was in St. Thomas and I was asked to preach, I preached for 55 minutes, after which the minister came to me and he said, "Donnie, I thought your preaching would have been shorter, but instead it became longer." So today I really don't want to overstay my welcome being the first that you're going to hear me speak. But I'm reminded of an old preacher who once said, "A sermon is like a lady's skirt, long enough to cover the essential, but short enough to keep the interest." So I hope I will do justice to that. And then, of course, Micah says, "When I get excited, the Granberian accent," not the Dominican, but the Granberian accent, which is very coarse, comes out. And typically when I get into my lesson, I get very excited. So let's see how that works. So again, thanks for the paid advert. Okay, but on to serious matters now. So thankful to Micah for reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Luke, as you would know, is one of the synoptic gospels, in which it simply means Luke, Mark, and Matthew are very similar in what is being said. In the case of Luke, Luke was written to Theophilus, who was Greek, and so the writing to the audience in Luke is more of a Gentile nature. How do we know? Because in the book of Luke, there are not too many quotes from the Old Testament. And part of the reasons why I chose to speak from Luke is because not too long, I'm going to be doing the study of the book of Luke. And so it was just fitting to get something out of the book of Luke. Typical sermons on what is dubbed as Father's Day tend to be around that. When I first thought about the lesson from Luke, I really didn't think of Father's Day, but nonetheless, so poignant in terms of what will be said in so many ways. Luke was a physician, according to Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 14, but he was no stranger to Paul and Peter, and hence he knew of the deeds of Jesus and being able to write the Gospel of Luke. A similar reference of our text can be seen in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Jesus here in chapter 8, it begins to tell us about the support that Jesus had with the ladies, or the women of the day, for which were very grateful because of Jesus, including Mary Magdalene. And then he goes on to talk about a parable of the sower. And then the scripture tells us his family came inquiring of him. And then he asked, "Who is truly my family and my mother and my brethren? But those who do his will." And in our text from which our lesson is taken, Jesus does a wonderful miracle where he calms the storm. This lesson will be divided into three parts. First, the journey. Secondly, the storm. And in our text, as we will see, the calm. In verse number 22 to 23, it says, "Now it came to pass, on a certain day, that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go unto the other side. And the scripture says, they launched forth." In verse 23, it says, "But they sailed." So we can understand from our text that they are on a journey. And if you have not recognized in life, life is but a journey. And sometimes this journey is filled with excitement, is filled with anticipation. But at the moments when we are least expected, the storms of life comes through. And this we recognize in our text. It was so calm that Jesus himself, the master, fell asleep. It was the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16, describes this journey as a pilgrimage towards the homeland. We are here as pilgrims heading to a homeland. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, Peter calls to the brethren remembrance to abstain from desires which are earthly, because we are but in a foreign land. So we are pilgrims. We are on a journey. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 to 21, Paul describes the Christian as having a heavenly citizenship. So our citizenship is not of this earth, but is of heaven. And so it means we are heading to heaven. We are on this journey. But on this journey, we will see that there are storms that will come. Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, in chapter 5, verses 16 to 25, he talks about that walk as a walking with the Spirit. So we are on a journey. In the book of Philippians, you can turn with me, reading from chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. We've got to recognize that in this journey, there is a progress, there is a growth, and there is a pressing forward. So Paul, in chapter 3, verses 12 to 14 says, "Not as though I have already attained, either with already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As we move along life's journey, the Christian walk, we are going to be progressing, there's going to be growth, and there will be a pressing. And much of that is as a result of the fact that there are winds that are contrary to our journeying of this life. And if I had not already tell you the lesson's title, it's entitled "Opposing Winds of the Season." opposing winds of the season. So we are on a journey, but while we are on this journey, there are winds which create opposition in our walk. The same way that Christ and the disciples were on this lake, it was a calm, and no one would have thought for a moment that there would come a storm with such boisterous winds as the King James would describe, with such winds that are ferocious, that they were taking water, and they thought to themselves, we are definitely going to perish. As we walk this Christian walk, as we look towards home, there are going to be obstacles. There are going to be threats. There are going to be situations in our life that makes our journey much harder. Brothers and sisters, the question remains, what journey are you on today? Because much of life is a journey. Are you on the pregnancy journey? Are you on the marriage journey? Are you on the education journey? Career opportunity even? Or a health journey? We are all are on some kind of journey. What a journey we are on. And each journey are going to be presented with storms. And such storms that will try our faith, that will try our resolve, that will really put us to the test. The disciples are on this journey. They are trekking towards the other side. But at the least expected moment comes those boisterous winds. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself falls asleep. Things are so calm. You are on this journey. You believe that everything is going to be all right. But when you least expect, you are surprised by a bump in the road, by a pothole that almost breaks, for those who are into cars, your chassis. And you wonder, what is going on? The disciples are in this predicament, and they are wondering what is going on. But secondly, we recognize in this journey, the storm comes along. When that happens, as in the case of these disciples, we recognize fear sets in, worry sets in, discouragement sets in, hopelessness sets in. You recognize in Peter's voice, so to speak, or in the disciples' voice, in verse number 24, or 23 to 24, it says, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. So they are being battered by the wind. And the boat or the ship, whichever way the text describes it, is taking water. And the idea is that, Lord, we are going to drown. And we're in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Recognizing the fact they're in peril because of this storm, they have almost lost hope. But at the time, we recognize they knew who Jesus was, that they went to him, acknowledging, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a cat. Brethren, as we are treading this journey called life, there will be storms that will come our way. But these storms are but for a season. Oftentimes, it appears they are for a long time as we are struggling to figure out what life or the meaning of the storm. They come when we are least expected. The disciples had hope to cross the lake because it was very calm. It was very tranquil. But soon they were dashed with a storm. We may be trekking a good life. Our marriage is doing well. Kids are doing well. And just in the nick of time, something happens that totally changes the course of the journey. It may be an accident. It may be a mistake. It may be a lapse in judgment or a medical situation that changes the trajectory of the journey. But you know, James reminds us in James chapter 1 and verse 2 unto 4, James reminds us that we must count it but joy as we go through this trial. Because why? He says, because it produces perseverance, shaping the travel through hardship. And so when those storms of life comes that detracts and takes us from the expectation, we can rest assured that one, they are for a time. Two, that we have a master and chief that is able to get us through those treacherous, turbulent moments in time. It was Paul writing to the church in Rome. Paul in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, a passage that oftentimes one of the brothers in St. Thomas often reminds us of. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 to 29, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So God works out all things for our good. We may not see it while we are going through the storm, but we can rest assured that God is able to take us through the storms of life. I will tell you, if you believe that all is well, then that's good. But generally, when we think of life, it's either you have gone through a storm is coming, or you are coming out from a storm. But storms are going to come in this journey. And so we've got to be prepared as we go through life with Christ on our side. Jesus speaking in John chapter 16, and the verse is 33. John 16 and the verse is 33. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Because Christ has overcome the world, no matter what struggles, no matter what storms that come our way, we can be assured that we can get through it. There is a quote from Brian McGill who says, "When the dark clouds of doubt, anger, or worry begin to move upon you, steady yourself in the knowledge that in time this storm will pass. Doesn't matter how treacherous the storm may seem as you go through the journey, whether it's gonna be the school journey, medical journey, whatever it is that we are going through, or just life as is presented, we can rest assured that we can get through the storm because it's just for a season. But not only do we see the storm, but we see the blessing through the storm. That when it seemed that hope was gone, when it seemed that all was but lost, Jesus the Christ steps in. When the disciples turn to whom? Who is the master of the storm? Bible tells us in verse number 24 to 25. When they came, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they being afraid, still afraid, one that saying, one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water obey him. While they turn to Jesus as their master, and they bring the problem to Jesus, they are still inquiring as to what manner of man he is. John in the Gospel reminds us in chapter 1 and verse 3 that everything was made by him, and there is nothing that wasn't made through him. And therefore, nature obeys him because he has created the wind and the storm. And so Jesus, the Bible tells us, has all authority in heaven and in earth. So at the moment, call Jesus and calm the storm that's happening in your journey, in my journey. But we have to have the faith to recognize that he's among us and he can calm the raging of the storm that we are going through. When we think of Job, Job had everything that was good. Good family, prosperous, lands, houses, you name it. And in a moment's notice, it all fell down. In a moment's notice, it was one bad news after another. But you know what? Job says in chapter 9 and verse 10 to 11, he says, who does great things beyond searching out, and marvelous things beyond number? Behold, he passed by me, and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him. He is in our midst, no matter how difficult the situation may be. Sometimes when we are going through those moments, we think we are all alone. But if we only look to Jesus, the Bible reminds us in another account in Matthew chapter 14 of another ship and sea situation that Peter, as he looked on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But at the moment his focus became on the wind and how strong the wind was, the Bible tells us he began to sink. We can sink in this journey if we believe we are on our own and we are focused at the strength of the wind and the storm that is upon us. But if for a moment we understand that Jesus is the master of the winds and the storms that's prevailing, he can calm that storm in your life. and he can bring relief. And understand, as we are going through the storm, it's made to strengthen our resolve, strengthen our faith in him. It was David who echoed this way in Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 7. He says, "You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble, and you put a song in my heart because you have saved me." In Psalms 46, from verse 1 to 3, he talks of God as being his refuge and his strength and an ever-present help in times of trouble. If you're going through a difficult time, because the journey is not always calm, there's going to be some tough times. Know with great assurity that if you are leaning on the master of the storm, he can calm that storm in your life. Be encouraged. Take hope that Jesus is able, because he has created the storm. By that I meant, he can take control of situations in your life, because there are times the storms are not necessarily of a testing nature. It is that the devil is really after you to get you, to sift you, to discourage you, to get you off your journey. But God is willing, through Christ, to get you through this journey. Paul expressed confidence in the fact that God is quite able. And we must be assured of this fact. If we were to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, verses 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Listen to Paul. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persuaded, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Paul was persuaded that Christ was able to get us through. The proverb writer also expresses similar sentiments in Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 4 unto 6, that we ought not to lean on our own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God is able. Christ is able. But we must recognize that. It was Peter writing to the Jewish audience. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verses 10, he says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Rest assured that God, through Christ, can take us through the storms of life as we go through this journey. Finally, in Joshua chapter 1, from verse 9 to 10, Joshua reminds the people of Israel that in order for them to be able to conquer the storm, they must remain strong and courageous in order to overcome the challenges of this journey. A quote by an unknown writer says, "I chose serenity in the face of challenges." Will you choose serenity? Will you choose the calm that Jesus brings when the storms of life comes your way in this journey? Brethren, let us be encouraged on this journey called life, that storms will certainly come. Be assured, like Peter, that Jehovah is the master of the storm. If he has brought you to it, he will take you out of it. There is no storm that is difficult for our Master Jesus to overcome. Not even the ones that the devil throws at us. He always provides a way of escape, the scripture reminds us, when those come our way. We are assured that he is able. I wanted to reference Psalm number 432, stanzas 2, which is very essential to that point. Psalm number 432, verse number 2. He says, many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try. Man, just give up. The storm is too bad. Why are you even trying? For there is no end to sorrow. There's no hope by and by. But he says, but I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I rise. Where the storm never darkens the skies, till the storm passes over. The storm is but just for time. It doesn't matter how difficult it seems in our eyes, if we will put it to the Master, if we will call on the Master, we recognize that he can calm the storms of your life. You might be going through storms, but Jesus can bring calm. My final quote, it says, stand still in the storm. It will pass after making you stronger. Every storm has a purpose. And rest assured that it can make you stronger. As we bring this lesson to a close, I want to look at one final passage, and that is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 41 and verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. I do not want to overstay my welcome, so I will bring it to a close. It says in verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. Whatever it is that you're going through, we all go through a journey. We are on a journey. But at times, when we are least expected, when we have great expectations of what that journey would look like, then storm comes. But rest assured, Jesus is able to get us through the storm. Brethren, life isn't easy, but the one thing that we know is that we are serving a God who is able, and there's no storm that is beyond his reach that he will not take care of in our life. But we must allow God to be God and depend on him to overcome life's struggles. If there are any in our midst who need our prayer, let us know. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. Because certainly we can't do it alone in this life. Shall we go to God in prayer? Holy and righteous God, we approach your throne of mercy and grace, thanking you so much for your word, thanking you for Jesus, our Master and Lord. We ask the Lord that as we go through life's journey, we'll continue to allow you to have the peace in our life, continue to be the Lord and Master of our life. And when those winds surface that are bringing discouragement, that are bringing despair, that are bringing fear, help us to be able to look to you in faith, recognizing, dear God, that you are able to get us through it all. May we never lose hope. May we, like Job, recognize, naked I come and naked we will return, but never losing our faith in you. May you surround us with your angels, and may we ever walk this life recognizing that you, God, are able to do all things. Continue to bless us and help us in this journey. We are thankful for your word, from which we can be exhorted and be encouraged to live this life in a way that is pleasing unto you. May you keep us and guide us as we go through this day. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name.